Okay, first I want to thank the organizers of this symposium for giving me an opportunity to come here to Siri, and as you know, old friends here, it's very exciting for me, you know, because I left Toronto for like, I don't know, 13 years. You know, I just see all the people, you know, and it's really, you know, exciting for me. I first saw Ray, I think 25 years ago, in Brussels when Ray was in sabbatical leave, and I was first year graduate student in Free University of Brussels, and we, you know, we were both learning French, you know, we talked in French with heavy accent, and that helped me a lot, you know. My first year when I was here in Toronto, I couldn't speak English, so I still, you know, spoke French to Ray, you know. And okay. This is a work I did in Varian. Varian is a company that invented the first MLR. And it's a medical company. They currently do a lot of, you know, like X-ray machines and medical and analytical instruments. And I worked in their R&D department for mass spectrometry. And first, I just explain a little bit, you know, what is an ion trap. Ion trap is the most important part of the mass spectrometer. And let me just go here. Okay, here you can see usually sample. Oh, what? The
pocket clip. No, it's turning on your phone.
Oh. Maybe you can show me. How to work. Button is here. Well, I don't see the spot.
There.
Where's that? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. 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 Usually, you know, samples going here, you know, it's ionized by some techniques called electro spray here, and then the samples are ionized, and then the ions pass through a set of ion lenses, so they are focused, you know, to be a very thin beam, and they then they inject it into a hole here, and then they get into the ion trap. This is the ion trap. Ion trap is composed of three electrodes. We have two N caps here and a ring ring electrode here. Okay, once the ions are in and they get trapped, and then they do a quasi periodic motion there. Okay, here is the exit. Once the ions are exit, you know, from the ion trap, they are recorded by an ion multiplier here. So here you can see, you know, some mass spectrum, you know, and x direction is the voltage or mass. You can do a calibration for that. Okay. And usually the two end caps are grounded, and the ring electrode is has a periodically modulated voltage, so that's why the ions will, you know, do a quasi periodic motion. This is a typical mass spectrum. Here you can see the mass peaks for caffeine, and here's some other substances. And this is the if you have a sample, then you pass through the ion transmitter and you get this kind of spectrum, then you can identify there's some caffeine in your sample. Okay, the trap geometry, this is a conventional 3D ion trap. It has, you know, rotational symmetry along the axial direction or the Z direction. These two surfaces are a perfect hyperbolic surface. So this way, the electric field inside the trap is a pure quadrupole field. Okay, so this is something we call ideal trap. Sometimes people try to, you know, increase the, you know, mass, you know, sensitivity and mass stability or the resolution. sometimes people will, you know, alter the geometry a little bit. The simplest way to alter the geometry is, you know, stretch the two end caps from the center. This way, a very weak octopole field will be created. So we can benefit from that, you know, with a higher resolution, higher stability. As I said, in a pure quadrupole field, the electric field is decomposed in three spatial directions. So you have equation of motions for the ions in 3D. So these are three independent equations. And U can be any, you know, X, Y, and Z, you know, component. And tau is a scaled time. As I said, you know, the electric field is periodically modulated. And tau is scaled by this modulation frequency. And this frequency is sometimes called radio frequency, or simply just RF frequency, because it's in the radio frequency domain. And AU and QU are DC and AC amplitudes. And this is, you know, periodic function. Okay, this is a general Maxwell equation. Its general solution can be write as this. And the beta is in the math book, it's referred as Flocke frequency, but in industry it's called something else. I don't remember. And this tau is, as I said, the reduced time, or, you know, time in units of modulation frequency. So as you can see here, this beta is independent of these. So it's a quasi-periodic motion. And this beta can be calculated by a continued fraction. I did this, you know, usually 20 to 30 iterations, you will get a very accurate beta. Beta depends on both A and Q. And the stability of this solution, a lot of people, you know, studied this, you know, since a century ago, I think. There's a monograph about Maxwell's equation and stability and so on. So it's a very old classic problem. And the first instability occurs, you know, when resonance occurs. Resonance means, you know, when this beta is twice of the tau, or twice of the modulating frequency. So this, when this occurs, the first instability occurs. So the orbit of the ion inside the ion trap is unstable. So it will, you know, grow unbounded. So, and finally, when the ion reaches the exit, it will, you know, just exit the ion trap and be recorded. That's the basic, you know, theory for the ion trap. Okay, I wrote some simulation algorithm. The idea is, you know, we need to do some prediction, because engineers in, at Varian, they spend lots of time and don't have you know, theoretical support, because they are just, you know, electrical engineers. And they try to change the geometry a little bit, you know, for the ion trap. But sometimes, you know, they just waste time. So they asked me, when I, you know, first joined the company, they asked me to do some simulations to help them, you know, at least in the right direction. Because, you know, resurface or redesign an ion trap, it's very expensive. It costs thousands of dollars to do that. So if you can do simulation, it's very cheap, you know, it's very easy to just change the, you know, geometry. So that's, since, you know, the ion dynamics is a classic dynamics, we don't need any quantum mechanics, we don't need anything, you know, fancy, we just need classical mechanics. So this is just the classical mechanics. The product of mass and acceleration is equal to the total force applied on the ion. And the total force, you know, has, you know, three terms. First term is, you know, the electric force from the trapping field. And second term is ion-ion interaction. It's just the Coulomb force, you know, among the ions. And the third thing is, I cannot write as an equation here, that's the interaction between ions and buffer gas. You know, using buffer gas is an accident. You know, people found that using low-pressure buffer gas can increase the mass resolution by at least one order. You know, the reason is very simple, you know, because ion has certain energy. So if energy is high, they will, you know, go wild inside the ion trap. So this means the distribution is very wide. When distribution is very wide, the mass resolution is low. So the buffer gas serves a role that it absorbs a lot of energy from the ions. So in industry, we call this collision focusing. So you focus all the ions into the center of the trap. So when they exit as a group. So the resolution will be at least one order higher. And the algorithms here, algorithm is just simple. It's just a direct, transformation from the these equations. Oh, I forgot to say that, the simulation for ion buffer gas molecule interaction is modeled by a velocity randomization process. I will talk about this later. So we just use the Verley velocity algorithm. We use finite time step and finite spatial time step, which is typically 1,000th of the one RF cycle. Okay, for ion buffer gas interaction, first we need to calculate the collision frequency, which is measures how often the collision happens. This is also classical mechanics or classical physics. And this integration is kind of difficult for an arbitrary geometry of the molecules. So I simplified the model. I assume that, I think it's not accurate, but I assume both the ions and the buffer gas molecules are hard spheres. So if you do this assumption, it's very easy to calculate this collision frequency. And once this is done, the post-collision momentum can be calculated by this equation. This is also classic mechanics. And Pi is the pre-collision momentum of the ion, and the Pi prime is the post-collision momentum, and M is its mass, and here Rz and Ry are rotation matrices, and this angle is the rotation angle, and this is the scattering angle, and this Vcm is the center of mass before the center of mass velocity before the collision. So with this, you have one frequency and this formula, you can calculate the velocity randomization easily. Now here I show you some results. This is just for single ion trajectory. As I showed in my previous slides, the general solution of the Matthew equation is a factor times infinite theory here, and this capital omega is the RF frequency or the modulation frequency, and this is the Floch frequency. It's this frequency depends on the AC and DC amplitudes. Okay, here you see there this spectrum is you see beta and difference frequency and plus frequency, and with the interaction with the buffer gas you can see you still see those peaks, but they are widened. So there's frequency is not just simply those three. Okay, here is a typical geometry for baryon ion trap. Okay, here you see some cut off here, and holes here, holes here for ions to coming in, and here for coming out, and cut off because the size must be finite. Okay, with this kind of geometry, a very weak, octopole field is introduced. And you have also higher order, like 16 pole, and so on. But this octopole field is the leading correction field. So we can use this to do some prediction. Okay, here, this is the slowly varying envelope for the axial displacement. So capital T is scale time. With this equation, you can do some predictions. And here you see a typical pitchfork bifurcation diagram. And this tells you, when at a critical point, if you increase the, this mu is a scaled, you know, scaled AC amplitude. When you increase this, you will see a bifurcation like this. And this is the case where, you know, the octopole field is out of phase with the quadrupole field. And this is the opposite. So in this case, you can see a sudden jump here because this lower branch is not stable. I have to, you know, accelerate a little bit. And here you see some simulation results. Here you see, you know, how, you know, a single ion exits to the from the ion trap, and when the voltage increases linearly. Okay, here we usually call this a scan function. A scan function can be any shape, but the simplest one is a linear scan. We call this linear scan. When you increase voltage linearly with time, you see the ion, you know, exits from the ion trap. And this is the case, you know, without buffer gas, and this is the case with buffer gas. So you can see the focusing, you know, effect here. Here is the spectrum, mass spectrum for racepin. Racepin is a very common drug for lowering your blood pressure. And this is the from the experiment, and this is from my simulation. And they agree very well. Okay, in my simulation, I use exactly the same experimental parameter, like same, you know, pressure, same temperature, same geometry, everything the same. So I can, my program can reproduce the experimentally resolved mass spectrum. Oh, here in this diagram, I show you, you know, when you change the octopole field sign, you see the resolution is reduced. So the conclusion is that, you know, the octopole field, when it's very weak, it can help to increase the mass resolution. And when it is out of phase, it reduces the resolution. You know, in this case, you know, almost you cannot see, you know, all the 7 peaks. You can see, you know, two peaks here. And then when you decrease the value of octopole field again, you only see one very, you know, very wide, you know, peak here. This is another, you know, result. You know, we simply stretch, you know, the end caps out by this distance here. Here you can see, you know, the resolution score as a function of a stretch distance, and you see some optimized, you know, distance here. That's agree with the experiment very well. Okay, finally, I just want to, you know, thank Ray again for his, you know, guidance, for his, you know, help, his support, you know, for many years. And even now, I still communicate with Ray. And 2 years ago, Ray even, you know, chose a research project for my son. And he's in his, I think, sophomore year in high school. And I also would like to thank those collaborators in Varian. And finally, I thank, you know, the organizer of this symposium again. Thank you.